Checking in here live for those of you at home. We're at day two of the Bitcoin 2022 conference. This is the Marathon Desk hosted by Bitcoin Magazine. I'm Alex McShane. This is BTC Sessions, of course. This is Q Gahimi and Mr. Greg Foss. And we're here breaking down Jack Mahler's great announcement yesterday. Gentlemen, do we want to give a bit of a recap from yesterday?
Let's break it down.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest takeaway, and I think everyone on this panel will agree with me, is Jack Mahler's announcement. I think we are witnessing a shift in the global financial markets, and Jack Mahler's is absolutely wrecking the game in the best possible way. For those of us in Bitcoin, we see and understand what just happened. For those of you at home who maybe don't quite grasp what just happened, you can now go into Walmart. You can now go into McDonald's. You can now go to Macy's, Chipotle, and pay in Bitcoin. But these companies are not going to receive Bitcoin. They're going to receive cash, no different than what a credit card company would give them, no different if you were to just hand them dirty fiat money.
And we're cutting out intermediaries, right? We're cutting out the middlemen. And that's the beautiful thing about Bitcoin. We keep it simple.
And if I could add, so I'm a small business owner in Montreal. I don't live in Montreal anymore, but I grew up there. And I'm a partner in 8 pubs, all right? And the restaurant business is tough. It, you know, we're a good restaurant, and we make about a 14% EBITDA margin or cash flow margin. So for every $100 of revenue, we'll make 14 bucks, all right? And that includes all our costs and everything. But if someone takes a credit card out of their pocket to pay us, we have to pay 2.5% to the credit card company. That's called merchant fees or credit card fees. Our margin then goes from 14 bucks down to 11.5, right? That's meaningful. And we are not happy about that, but most people like getting points on their credit cards rather than paying cash. Okay, so we are going to bring a Bitcoin solution to our pubs. But the bigger picture is this. There's a company that I actually invested in last year at the conference named Ibex Mercado, who has the booth right over there that has a payment system, and we're going to use them to implement our system in Canada. But what have they done? They were the guys that started in Guatemala but went to El Salvador. As soon as Jack Mahler's onboarded El Salvador last year, they're like, well, we're a three-hour drive. Let's get in there. So these guys, Jose Lamas, my good friend, and his team have gone from an idea last year to the booth is amazing, all right, and they're showing these lightning payments and everything. Point is, in El Salvador, credit card merchant fees are 8%. Okay, now think about that. You're a good restaurant in El Salvador, and someone pays with a credit card, and your margin is halved. This is what Bitcoin is for. It disintermediates the intermediaries who are raping not the consumer, but the merchant that needs to accept them. Mm-hmm. And Bitcoin changes everything.
I wanted to come at it from a completely different angle from you because I live on Bitcoin. So this hits different for me. All of a sudden, instead of using like stopgap measures and God bless them for everybody that's built everything that's enabled me to jump through some extra hoops to be able to live on Bitcoin. But now I can earn Bitcoin directly, which is what I do. I don't use a stopgap measure for that because I just don't accept dollars, but, but now I don't have to do as many hops and leaps and limbos to get through that system. I can just go and buy my groceries.
Attaboy.
Directly. And so while I think obviously it'll take some time for these things to roll out and be accessible to everybody, it suddenly makes the ideological person who just wants to opt out of fiat, it opens it up to them. And so the people that now want to earn and live on a Bitcoin standard because they ideologically disagree with the fiat standard and what it enables, they can now do that. They can now say, it's not a pain. It's not that much of a leap for me to say, I want to offer goods and services for Bitcoin. And then I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to live my life. I'm going to go grab my groceries and I don't have to break my neck trying to do it. I can just go do it. And I think that will be felt more and more in the coming years.
Yeah, can I add something though? Here? Look, so, you know, I spent my life in hedge funds, and, what a hedge fund implies is that you need, to hedge yourself. If you're in equities, you typically are long one equity and short another. Okay. So let's pick my favorite, Bitcoin hater out there. Charlie Munger. All right. Now, Charlie hates Bitcoin because he calls it rat poison. And I always say, okay, that's fine because fiat is the rat. Okay. So Bitcoin's going to crush fiat, but, or protect us against fiat. Why does Charlie Munger hate what's happening with Bitcoin as a payment? What are some of his biggest holdings? Oh, American Express. Fuck you. You're done. Okay? Understand. Excuse me if this is going live. I recant that statement. At the end of the day, the idea is you are in trouble if you are used to charging 8% fees and that's your business model. Mm-hmm. Get on board. Sell Western Union. It's the simplest short I've ever seen in my life.
I want to highlight something for those of you guys watching at home right now, because we have brought up two very niche examples. We brought up merchants, those who own businesses, and those who are living on Bitcoin. But frankly, that's not the vast majority of people. Mm-hmm. But we are talking about businesses that the vast majority of people touch. Look, Walmart is a business. They have an obligation to their shareholders to maximize profits. If all of a sudden they start to see more income off of the margins that they already have because people are not paying in credit cards, people are not giving away that 3%, all of a sudden, an incentive structure starts to get created. Look at an app like Lolli. You now have incentive to go and download Lolli. You get Bitcoin Cash back through whatever offering and deal that Lolli is able to create with whatever businesses that they partner with. You now have a new incentive structure created because these businesses now have 3% more, 2.5% more in their pockets.
Correct.
We're going to offer you guys 1% Bitcoin cash back. You want to pay on the rails? Tell you what, 1-2% off. Or we'll give you that 3% so we can onboard more. Because for right now, the onboarding cost is worth it for us to continue to acquire new end users in this incredible space. The consumers aren't going to feel this yet. That's our truth. But it will be soon. It'll be very soon, and pay very close attention to what comes out of both financial markets, banks, and credit card companies, because they're about to gang up on Jack Maulers and all of us here in Bitcoin.
I will cut in there for a second, Q. I think consumers are going to feel this. The touch points for the average person to Bitcoin, in America at least, have grown exponentially over the last year, 2 years. I mean, you get Bitcoin on your Cash App, now you can just walk into a store and spend it. They don't have to hold it like a stock. They can live off it if they want to. It's amazing.
I wanted to say how, again, with the example between me and Greg, I feel like it's kind of mirroring other aspects of Bitcoin's adoption in that the adoption happens in the fringes and then works its way inwards. And so what we saw in terms of Bitcoin's value proposition versus fiat in terms of storing value, where do we see it the most? We saw it, the people that were most affected by inflation, the people at the bottom that basically their currencies were destroying their ability to live, the people in the poorest areas of the world, they get it right away because their currencies are devaluing at such a rate that the volatility of Bitcoin seems like nothing. And look at the other end of the spectrum. You have the Michael Saylors of the world where they're looking and their job is to preserve capital and spending power. And so they get it right away and then it works its way into the mainstream and the average person. And I think you as a business wanting to accept Bitcoin, you understand the margins that you're dealing with as a payment mechanism, and me as a person living on Bitcoin, you know, I'll say I'm on the fringe. You know, I'm feeling it first, but it's going to work its way in. Like you're saying, people are going to see those touch points and it becomes more accessible.
It's the people that I've been saying this all week. It's the people that need to solve a problem that understand Bitcoin first. It solves several problems for several different populations worldwide. We're very financially privileged here in the United States. Correct. Those in other countries who are seeing 50% plus inflation need a store of value, need a medium of exchange. And this year we're seeing Bitcoin become a unit of account, an actionable, viable unit of account for people right here in the United States.
And think of, oh, sorry, Q.
No, I just want to also highlight something because I think what we have been talking about a lot is spending the Bitcoin through this guardrail and then the merchant receiving cash. But there's another component of this that is worth discussing. You don't need Bitcoin to start. You can have cash in this account, mm-hmm. in your Strike account, in your Cash App account, right. and it can just go through the Lightning Network on that rail, and it's cash to cash.
Yeah.
And still there's using no 3%
fee. Using the rail. So, and here, let's take the other side of it, all right? And I bring back my pubs, but then we'll move it to a country. So the pubs, like, when we say we accept Bitcoin, we actually know we attract a younger market, a younger or a more digitally comfortable clientele. And it's, so it increases sales on the one hand, and then it reduces costs on the other hand. All right. So that's beautiful. Then let's bring it to the country. So El Salvador. Think of how many of your friends have thought about investing in El Salvador lately, whether it's going down there and actually buying property or just interested in the economy. Now, with a GDP of El Salvador, it's meaningful when you get a couple of hundred thousand fairly wealthy first world people, not saying that they're not first world, but they're less developed than the first world, interested in investing in their economy because they have a system that's, progressive or whatever. So you're seeing Bukele announce that their GDP expanded at some crazy rate, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and part of it's from tourism, part of it's from GDP expansion. Part of it is from payments that don't actually have to get paid through Western Union, right? Mm-hmm. So if 20% of their remittances were charged at a 20% fee, that's a plus or minus Western Union, cheap Western Union transfer. That's 20% of 20% is 4%. Hey, I just saved or increased my GDP by 4% by cutting out the Western Union middleman. Mm-hmm. Short Western Union.
Can I touch on one other aspect of what Jack said yesterday? One of the more notable things to me is when he showed the video of him using it. The first example of how he was spending Lightning at that grocery store was not through Strike. It was not through Cash App. It was through Zap, which was connected to his own Lightning node with liquidity lines that he himself established through Tor. So he could have mined those coins and opened channels with them. It doesn't matter. It's a cash equivalent that has just been established. And I think one of the killer tweets from shortly thereafter was Matt O'Dell basically saying, hey, you've now basically created every storefront in America as a non-KYC off-ramp.
Yeah, 100%. This is the kind of infrastructure that not only drives adoption in this space, but it also, preserves innovations that we've needed and developed as Bitcoin, as a community,
yeah.
to help spread adoption.
And I should, I should also say, like, do we need KYC if you're going to go buy a Big Mac? Like, you don't need all my info for that. Come on, get with the program.
You do if you are central bank digital currency,
yes.
and they're worried about your overweightness and say, hey, you're not allowed to spend your central bank digital currency at Big Macs.
You're it's, over it's your meat quota.
It's bad for our health system, but I digress.
Yeah.
Checking in here live for those of you at home. We're at day two of the Bitcoin 2022 conference. This is the Marathon Desk hosted by Bitcoin Magazine. I'm Alex McShane. This is BTC Sessions, of course. This is Q Gahimi and Mr. Greg Foss. And we're here breaking down Jack Mahler's great announcement yesterday. In terms of tone, in terms of delivery, what do you think? How are we doing energy-wise at this conference today, guys? Are we going to get an eruption out of this giant volcano or what?